right, thank you. Your Bibles now, and let's go to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. And we'll be looking at verses 1 through 9. We're studying a series called The Resilient Life. The life that takes things that are tough and hangs in there. The life that recovers. The life that springs back. The life that keeps focused on the Lord in the midst of difficulties. And so today we're going to deal with the lesson number 3, God's mercy overcomes man's injustice. We'll see that in the context, the injustice that is there. God's mercy that overcomes man's injustice. And overcoming discrimination is the subtopic of it. And of course, there was great discrimination during that particular time. And so we're going to see how that affects us and how that relates to us today as believers. Joseph had gone into Egypt. As you remember, he was there to help out his father and his brothers, and all of the Jews came there to that land and they prospered. God blessed them. And a new Pharaoh came into power. And because the Jews were growing and having a lot of babies and everything, the new Pharaoh decided that he was just a little bit inferior and afraid of what was going to happen. And so in order to stop that, he ruled, and he had that right to do it, he ruled that all the baby boys would be killed when they were born. And that's pretty good, strong discrimination, wouldn't you think? What if our government decided that today? We would just be absolutely, totally appalled. But that's what it was. And Pharaoh had the power, as he was treated like a god, in order to call that shot, in order to demand that those babies all be killed. They were discriminated against, these Jews. They were building cities like Pithom and Ramses, and they started out making brick, and then as slaves they were making those brick, and then they put straw with it, of course. Then later he said, not only are you going to make the brick, you're going to gather the straw. And they actually have proof of that in the British Museum, going back to the time of Ramses II. They have a brick that has that straw in it, and it comes right out of that era in that time. So this was extreme discrimination. But then we have Jochebed and Moses, mother, that was going to overcome these things through the help and power of God. Amram was the daddy, Jochebed the mother, and of course they married, and then Moses was born to them. Obviously, like any mother, any father too, but mothers in particular would love a little baby that is born. It's just their nature, isn't it, to take care of a little baby. That's just built into the women that would have a child to love that baby. But she didn't get bitter during this time, although this was the demand. She was very, very resilient. We'll see that as we go through these verses. And this was a culture, no question about it, a culture of discrimination and injustice against the Jews during that particular time. Maybe you've experienced some injustice and discrimination. It's not something that is confined to one time in history. It continues. It's happening in the world today. It's happening even here. And we have in our country, we've had racism in the past, that type thing, and we have to fight it today. But there's been some blots even on America and certainly a lot of other countries. Now, that all is bleeding in on us, especially if you are a Christian. If you're a Bible-believing, dedicated, for real, genuine, stand up for what's right, Christian, people are not going to like you. And you're going to face prejudice if you're that kind of person. It's already happening all around us, and we're seeing it right now, especially against Bible-believing Christians. So, in your outline, the ministry of a mom. The ministry of a mom. Mothers, I think, have such a great impact on children. And I'm a strong in my beliefs that mothers would be better at home with their children in those formative years, especially so that they can have that impact that they need to have. So she lovingly protects. She lovingly protects. Verse 2 in Exodus 2, verse 2, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. That's a mother's nature. She did not want to see her little child, her little boy baby, killed. And so mothers have a special gift, and we have a special assignment from God to take care of those children, make sure those children are taught right and brought up right, especially in those formative years. The psalmist said in Psalm 127:3, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Notice there he says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Life is at conception, and there is life, an individual, in the womb. And then Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed thee," God said, "in the belly I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Obviously, he was an individual person during that time. So we look at Jochebed and Amram, and we notice from their lives that they have a lot of faith. They had to have a lot of faith. How's your faith today? How's my faith today? They had great faith. That shouldn't have been unusual in that day to trust God by them, but it was. But parents are responsible. So much responsibility falls upon the parents, and I think especially the mother in many ways. Proverbs 22:6, you know that verse. "Train up a child in a way that he should go, and when he's old, what? He will not depart from it." And so that's a verse that's been quoted and quoted and quoted. And so we have that responsibility. By the way, the state does not have that right, nor that responsibility. The home is where it should be, and it's the parents that should be training their children. But the states are trying to take over. The state is trying to take over now and trying to push parents out. They're allowing more and more schools, and this is documented. This is not just hearsay. But they're allowing them to push the LGBTQ, and I hope you know what all that stands for. If not, look it up. Those ideologies on students. And they're promoting in many schools non-traditional sexual preferences or gender transitions without, here's a clincher, without the parents' knowledge. That's wrong. That's anti-God. That's anti-Bible. That's as wrong as it could possibly be. For instance, I'll give you this illustration. It's verified. Emails exchanged between staff at a school in Pennsylvania reveal the school attempting to hide a middle schooler's preferred pronouns and gender transitions from her parents. Hiding it from her. The emails also reveal that the school was encouraging another middle schooler, encouraging him to start an LGBTQ-related club, urging these middle school children to do that. And there are many more illustrations of that. So the state was in charge during the time of Jochebed and Amram, and they tried to destroy Moses. But parents have the responsibility before God to protect their children. So she lovingly protected Moses. And then she trusts in providence. She was a person who trusted in providence, and so did her husband. But look in verse 3, and when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Now, if you can just imagine that, and just you ladies especially, just think what it would be like to take that little baby and take it out there and put it in a sort of a little basket ark. The bulrushes were the long reed plants, and they would let those dry out and weave them together. The slimes they're talking about here was like asphalt, and it was for waterproofing. And then they talked about the pitch, and that was liquid that would make it watertight. So it was a watertight vessel that she had prepared. But can you imagine her doing that? Can you imagine if you were a mother going to take your little baby and put it in that basket, that little ark out in the bulrushes, and trust God to take care of it? Now, that would take a lot of faith, wouldn't it? But that's the kind of faith she had. And so it's amazing how she trusted God. But here's another amazing thing about her, how she did not get bitter, how she did not get filled with hatred. You know, resentment and bitterness lead to a lot more suffering. The more we resent, the more we're bitter about our past or how we've been mistreated, it's going to lead to more suffering. Faith in God leads to resilience, to taking it, to going on, to trusting God. Psalm 7:1, O Lord my God, the psalmist said, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. He said, I'm trusting you. She didn't organize a group against Pharaoh. She didn't burn down any buildings. She didn't go in stores and tear them up and steal things and do all of that. She didn't cause any riots. She just trusted in God. This was what was going on during the time, and she was trusting God. Romans 12:7, here's a principle to live by, and it's a hard one. Recompense to no man evil for evil. How's that? It's quiet, isn't it? Recompense no man evil for evil. Verse 19, I'm just quoting the Bible. Romans 12:19, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. In other words, let God handle it. Do your best. And I think we ought to vote and be good citizens and all of that. But having done all we can do, we have to accept what God is permitting, and we have to trust him through it and do what he says in the Word of God. So you have the ministry of a mom, and then you have her lovingly protecting him and trusting in the providence of God. And that's exactly what she was doing. What a lot of faith she had to have to do that, to put that baby in that little ark. Then secondly, the mercy of God. God helps all of us to overcome if we let him. And so this mercy was shown to Jochebed. It was shown to Jochebed. Verses 5 and 6, look at those. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. Just an accident, right? And her maidens walked along by the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. God pinched him right about that time. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. It touched her heart. She had compassion on him. A lot of times they would go to that river because they worshiped the Nile, and they felt like if they bathed in the Nile, that would keep them from getting sick and cure their diseases and so on and so forth. And that's probably why she was there. But Jochebed had no idea what was going to happen in the future. God didn't lay it out for her, this is the way I'm going to take care of it. What I'm pointing out is she did it by faith. But God worked it out so that she got him in his formative years. And that comes out later. And she kept him until he was 4 or 5 years of age. And then he spent 40 years in Pharaoh's palace. He was taken care of and taught everything. He had every privilege that a child could have. But he knew all that time, and it came out that he was a Hebrew. I'm a Hebrew. I'm a Jew. I'm a Hebrew, as we would say. And so God's mercy is present even in discrimination. And we're going to see how that works out there. And so we have to look for it. Even in our lives, if there's some kind of discrimination, we have to accept it as God's will if we can't do anything about it without breaking the laws of God. Then we just have to trust God. So it was shown to Jochebed, and then it was shown to Moses, and we have to just look for it in his life too. God used Pharaoh's daughter, and God was in control of her. She may not have known it, but she had compassion, and she adopted him and took him, and he was educated and trained in the ways of the Egyptians, and that was important later on. But Acts 7:21-22, and when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. God must have a sense of humor. He said, I'm going to give her back. Not only, you're not even going to have to pay for it. I'm going to let her pay for all of that and to get the education and everything else. So God is in charge. Sometimes we can be discriminated against. It can happen. It can happen on your job. I have talked to some people, and I have a relative now that on his job, and it's without question, is being mistreated, being passed over when he has been the one that really built the business up in a tremendous way. And some things change. Politics get in that. And he's been discriminated against. And some of you have seen that. You have that at work, maybe, where you work, or maybe among your kinfolks, or maybe your neighbors. You know, sometimes you get a neighbor that doesn't like you, and they don't treat you too well. And you're passed by for a job. But whatever we experience, we've just got to give God thanks for it and just say yes to the Lord. We can't see the future. But I can promise you this, if we do what's right, if we are resilient and lean on the Lord, then we're going to come out okay. It's all going to come out the way it should. And I can give you some other illustrations, but I remember working in a situation where we were being mistreated. The seminary students from the old Bible Baptist Seminary in ARA Manufacturing, and we had a guy that just absolutely despised us. The night guy that came in over the whole plant. But we just kept praying, and we were mistreated. He'd walk up to me and pull out a little bottle, looked like Vaseline. It was, he would say it was some kind of liquor. And, don't you want a taste of this? Well, what's wrong? You think you're better than me? And that's the way he would approach it. But we just kept praying. God got rid of him. He got caught in a mess, and God got rid of him. And guess who he sent in? A big, tall, about 6'4", John Wayne, born-again Baptist. That took his place. And I never will forget how God took care of that. Praise ye the Lord, the psalmist said. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good, for his mercy endureth forever. And we've got to always remember Romans 8:28. We know that all things, not just good things, not just some things, but all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. That's a qualifier. You got to love the Lord. We can't always be thankful, in our minds and our emotions, but we have to look at the whole picture and just, when things are not what we want them to be, just thank God you're saved. That ought to keep it in perspective. Thank God you've been forgiven. You're on your way to heaven, and no matter what happens, we're going to win. Saved and kept by His grace. So the ministry of a mom, the ministry of God, and then the making of Moses. The making of Moses. God was preparing him to do what? To be a deliverer of his people. To be a deliverer. How did God develop him? What did he do? How did he develop him over that period? Well, in his identity. He developed him in his identity. Jochebed's influence during those formative years. Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Where did he get that idea? How did he know? I think it goes back to Jochebed, choosing rather, making a choice, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I'm telling you, he had anything he wanted, anything to satisfy the flesh or whatever he wanted. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of God, putting it way up high on a pedestal, esteeming the reproach of God greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. And they had a lot of them. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew God would honor it. So, spiritual identity in a bad culture is difficult. But he had that. And so, the same is what we're facing today, I think. Especially children and teens, pressure. Some of the parents would not believe in the public school systems. And there may be some exceptions, one class or whatever, I understand that. But by and large, across the country in the public school systems, they are pressuring the kids to conform to the culture of today. Anti-God, they take an anti-scripture position and an anti-Christianity position. Moses' choice was not easy. You can figure he had everything. It wasn't easy for him. But was it right? It was right. It was absolutely right. And so he made that choice. And then he developed him through in his failure. That was part of it too. Look at verses 11 and 12, chapter 2, 11 and 12. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burden. And he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Well, that wasn't God's will. He reacted here in the flesh. And what was being done, probably this man had killed a number of his brethren, but this was not the way God wanted it handled. What motivated him? Acts 7, 24 and 25, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. He supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. It wasn't God's time for them to be delivered, and that was not the way God was going to do it. Impatience. Sometimes we are guilty of that. Just do something. You know, we just say, just do something. And Moses was like that. Just do something. You got to do something. No, we have to wait on the Lord. We have to wait on God. And his impatience was a costly failure. Then he developed him in his solitude. Chapter 3, verse 1, Exodus 3, 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. God let him spend 40 years there, and now he moves him on the backside of the desert, the college of the desert, the university of the desert. He is there, and he learned there, I think, humility, not to take things in his own hands, but to let God take care of it. Numbers 12:3, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And then in his surrender, 40 years later, he is transformed. Look at Exodus 3, verse 2, 4, and 5. And the angel of the Lord appeared in him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And then the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Why was it such holy ground? Because I think it really was when he was absolutely consumed and impressed with the great power and glory of God. After that, he gave some excuses. We don't have time to go into those. In Exodus 4, he finally surrendered, and we see that in verses 18 through 20 in Exodus 4. And Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, said unto him, "Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren, which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive." And Jethro said to Moses, "Go in peace." And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, "Go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life." And Moses took his wife, his sons, and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. God prepared him. He spent that 40 days there, and then God used him to deliver the people of Israel, the Jewish Hebrew people. And he showed him, as he developed him, in God's triumph. The triumph he gave him. Hebrews 11:29, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned." God led them across, and who did he use? He used him, and the enemies drowned. So here's the concluding statements. Moses' parents experienced discrimination, but what did they do? They trusted God, and they protected their son. They knew they had that responsibility. Moses learned from his wrong choice that you cannot fight your way to freedom and the way to victory like that, but God would make a way in his time and his way. Discrimination is in the world today. And I tell you, it's growing in the Western world, and it's growing toward Christians. How are we going to get through with victory? How are we going to handle this? Not fighting in the flesh, not causing those kind of things. The armor of flesh will fail you, the Bible said. Victory comes in doing what? Trusting God. Psalm 34:19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." If we respond to this kind of problem in vengeance, then we're going to miss. We'll miss what God has for us and what God wants to do through us and through our faith in him during these times. The darker the night, the brighter the light shines. And that should be us. We should be resilient, and he will provide that ability to do it for his glory. Father, thank you for this illustration in the Bible. Help us to do what's right, to trust you, to be people of faith, even in times when there's injustice. We just have to keep on looking to you, doing what is right, and you'll give the victory and you'll give the glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.